Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A ballot initiative proposes changes to Alaska's election process. Advocates for the measure say it would promote more open politics, but Alaska Republican Party leaders call it unconstitutional. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
California and Washington State have primaries where any registered voter can vote. Maine has elections where voters rank their choices. And some national election reform advocates are calling for having the top four candidates in primaries make it to the general election. But Alaska could become the first state to make all of these changes.
We're setting ourselves up, honestly, to try to be the gold standard of election reforms.
That's Jason Gren, an independent and former state representative. He's the primary sponsor of what's called the Alaska's Better Elections Initiative. The initiative would do a lot of things, like strengthen financial disclosure laws. And the election reforms are complicated. Suppose instead of political candidates, you had five cookies, three chocolate chip, an oatmeal raisin, and a peanut butter. Currently, voters would have to choose between the three chocolate chip cookies in a separate primary from the other cookies. And only one of each cookie could advance to the general election. But the initiative would switch to an open primary, where all five cookies could compete. If the initiative were to pass, the top four would advance. That brings us to the general election and ranked choice voting. Voters would be able to rank the four candidates. If one of the chocolate chip cookies gets a majority of the first choice ballots, it's over, it wins. But if that doesn't happen, then the ballots of the people who voted for the fourth place cookie, say the oatmeal raisin, would have their votes redistributed to the others based on how the voters rank the other cookies. And at that point, if there's still no candidate with a majority of the votes, the voters for the third place candidate would have their backup choices split among the two remaining to determine the winner. So why do people like Gren support these election changes? In part, it comes down to the incentive for candidates to be the second choice of voters who like other candidates.
Every study, every poll says, you know, voters want more civility. They want less negative advertising.
Gren says this advantage becomes even greater when it's combined with the top four system. That's because it will no longer hurt for a more moderate or independent candidate who's affiliated with a party to run in the primary. They can still make it to the general election, even if they don't appeal to voters on a narrow partisan basis.
Take the time to think about, is the system working for me right now?
I don't see anything wrong with the existing system that we have.
Glenn Clary chairs the Alaska Republican Party.
I think people need to have a choice, clear choice on the ballots from both parties.
Clary says the initiative violates a provision of the Alaska Constitution that requires that the candidate for governor who receives the greatest number of votes to become the governor. He also says it violates the federal Constitution.
It goes against the First Amendment or the right of association. And I believe Republicans who desire to have a primary of their own should have that right.
It's far from a done deal that the initiative will even appear on Alaska's ballot. The organizers have to gather more than 28,000 signatures by January 21st to get it on the ballot next fall. And if there are enough signatures, Clary says the Alaska Republican Party would consider a lawsuit challenging its constitutionality. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The landscape for legal services in Alaska is about to shift. A lot of the state's 4,500 practicing attorneys started out in the 1970s and 80s, and many are nearing retirement. As KUAC's Robin reports, the Bar Association is worried about a brain drain.
The Alaska Bar Association is the nonprofit organization that provides continuing legal education, coordinates volunteers to offer pro bono services, and monitors and disciplines attorneys in the state.
It's an interesting landscape in that you have a lot of senior lawyers with a lot of experience, and as they start to retire, you lose that knowledge. You lose them as mentors.
Rob Stone is the president. He says there's no shortage of attorneys right now, but he anticipates retirees leaving will increase the justice gap between those who have access and those who don't.
Unfortunately, I think that means that there will be less lawyers to choose from. If the bar isn't growing as fast as lawyers are retiring, we're not doing that right now, but you could see it coming in the future. That would likely lead to a shortage of lawyers for consumers.
So you might think, what's the problem? Let's just recruit more lawyers. But Alaska's standards are higher than other states, and not everyone makes the cut on the uniform bar exam to practice here.
Somebody may have taken the bar examination in Oregon and was high enough to be admitted into the Oregon bar, but not high enough to be admitted into the Alaska bar. So the Alaska Supreme Court just looked at that. The Board of Governors looked at it, spent quite a bit of time analyzing whether we should lower that score.
Stone says the court concluded they would leave the cut score as it is. His offices are in Anchorage, and he visited Fairbanks to attend the installation of Superior Court Judge Brent Bennett, tour the Rabinowitz Courthouse, and meet with the Tanana Valley Bar Association. Attorneys in Alaska are legally required to join the Bar Association, which charges dues that can be a barrier to someone just starting out.
Newer lawyers coming out of law school have a tremendous amount of debt. Bar dues are expensive, and so we're doing things to keep those bar dues where they are. We haven't raised bar dues in many, many years.
On the plus side, Alaska has a reputation for a high-quality bench, the judges. Alaska is unique in the system we use to seat our judges that are neither political appointees nor elected. We use the Judicial Council.
Members of the bar, the court, and the public. So you really have a system that is merit-based. And because of that, we have a very good bench.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Reports of mountain lion sightings in the Delta Junction area have prompted safety warnings, but with no hard evidence of the big cats, fish and game officials remain skeptical. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The sign near the trailhead of the Bluff Cabin Trail is a toned-down version of the somewhat alarming post that popped up earlier this month on the Delta Junction Trails Association Facebook page. Beware, there have been several reports of sightings of a possible mountain lion in the Bluff Cabin Trail area. Stay vigilant, and if seen, try to get a photo and report to Fish and Game.
It was in response to three different sources said that they had seen suspect cats in the vicinity.
Trails Association Committee Chairperson Mindy Eggleston says it was posted out of an abundance of caution and with the encouragement of the local Fish and Game Office staff.
If there are mountain lions out there, we'd like to see a picture.
Clint Cooper is a wildlife tech at the Delta Fish and Game Office.
Have your cameras ready.
It was too early in the morning and I wasn't thinking straight.
Joel Holbrook wishes he had grabbed his camera late at night 2.5 months ago when he and his wife spotted what they swear was a mountain lion near their home, which is located near the Bluff Cabin Trail in a mainly agricultural area north of Delta.
It's a light color compared to anything else I see around here. It has a long tail that flips around as it kind of runs, you know, and it's a lot larger than any lynx I've ever seen.
But the animal didn't leave any tracks on that night of September 8th before there was any snow. Cooper says he checked it out, as he has with two other recent reports near Delta. But he says those sightings, along with one from a couple of years ago by a hunting guide out of Tok, all lacked any hard evidence to prove that it really was a mountain lion that was sighted.
In the interior, there's been reports for years of mountain lion sightings, but we haven't had any confirmed.
Cooper says Fish and Game has confirmed the presence of mountain lions in southeast Alaska since one was shot and another trapped back in the 1980s and 90s. And he thinks there may be something to the theory that as the climate warms, the lions are ranging farther north in pursuit of the deer that are their preferred prey species, like a mule deer spotted last year near Delta and another that was struck and killed by a vehicle a couple of years ago near North Pole.
Young males particularly can travel large distances, so it's possible for an individual to show up. However, we don't have the proof.
And until Fish and Game gets that proof, the story of the Delta Mountain Lion will officially remain an unsubstantiated, though tantalizing, tale. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.